For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRN USA.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, good morning. I'm Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning, Friday morning, that's time for Andrew Skousen and the Joel Skousen Report, bringing us up to date on the latest issues facing America. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and tell us, what are the issues we're going to be talking about this morning?
Certainly. Well, the big story this morning is about why deficits and the debt ceiling really matter. The budget battles being waged in Congress right now are not just a recurring spectacle of Democrats versus Republicans, wrangling over Obamacare funding, the inevitable debt ceiling increase, or the threat of government shutdown. Those are merely the specific controversies that showcase what happens when restrictions within a constitutionally limited republic run up against the demands from a majority of voters who are corrupted by benefits and who are determined to keep getting, quote-unquote, their fair share of the ever-diminishing productive output. This majority is growing, and they will continue to demand those benefits, i.e. food stamps, subsidized loans, grants, and they will continue to demand those benefits even if it ultimately means national bankruptcy. They want what they want right up until the last. And because politicians cannot survive in what has become a de facto democratic socialist system without yielding to voter wishes, conservatives are destined to keep losing ground. Joel says, as I have said before, we don't need a balanced budget amendment. The debt ceiling already does exactly what we need. It forces government to stop borrowing and live within its means. The conservatives don't have the courage to do that. In other words, keep them on that same line, which doesn't take Senate approval to abide by the existing rules. It only takes a bare majority within the House. Then how do they ever imagine they'd have the political will to pass a balanced budget amendment with a two-thirds majority? The Democrats, Rhino Republicans, and the establishment media always equate failure to increase the debt limit to shutting down the federal government. But that's never been true at all. Stopping deficit spending does not mean that government has to shut down. It simply means that it has to spend within its existing tax revenue, which is always flowing. It's not as if the tax money comes in at the beginning of the year and they spend it all by September. They are always spending more than is coming in. The debt ceiling demands that this deficit spending stop. When you stop deficit spending, it doesn't mean that the government runs out of money, only that it has to spend less, a lot less. The executive branch has to make some admittedly tough decisions to prioritize spending to make sure that the really essential services are still provided. No easy task to determine, especially for social democrats, who describe themselves euphemistically as liberals and progressives. These social democrats view themselves as giving out benefits which are essential, quote-unquote, and it is essential to their ability to buy votes. In order to induce Americans to pressure conservatives to yield and allow more debt, liberals always cut off or curtail the services most irritating to the public. Then they point the blame at conservatives, when in fact this misallocation of funds is deliberate. While conservatives have tried to correct this and put the blame back on the administration, the media always plays a huge role in heaping blame on the Republican-controlled House of Representatives. Now, are deficits rising or falling? As the battle heats up over whether to increase the national debt ceiling yet again, incredibly, a lot of Democratic-leaning think tanks are claiming that deficits are falling due to increased tax revenue. They used to claim that, quote, deficits don't matter, unquote, but that's been proven false, so now they try to lessen the appearance of damage. But even with their most optimistic estimates this year, this, quote-unquote, falling will only happen until Obamacare fully kicks in after 2015, and then the deficits start to rise dramatically. In reality, the Democrats are fudging the numbers on all counts, especially for the tax increases, which have their own set of numbers. There are virtually no deficit reductions now or in the future, falling temporarily, merely the rate of increase, not debt levels and
We seem to be having a little trouble with some words dropping out there, Andrew. Go ahead. Just speak a little bit more slowly.
Oh, yes. All right. Thank you. After 2015, there's no stopping the rush to eventual default as Obamacare threatens to cause billions more in public costs, both in taxes and increased premiums, all of which will be funneled into the black hole of the failing U.S. healthcare system. Failing, not only because of high costs, but in failed drug-oriented medical protocols. Insurance-based medicine is hostile to natural medicine, ignorant of preventative nutrition, which is the only real long-term solution to America's chronic obesity and health issues. That is why conservatives feel that Obamacare must be stopped. But it won't, and here's why. Among many other reasons, the U.S. is headed for eventual disaster. As another new milestone for Obamacare implementation nears, a large percentage of Americans are realizing just how damaging and unaffordable the, quote, Affordable Health Care Act is, abbreviated as ACA. The increased tax burden is heavy for productive people and businesses. Here's an official list of the tax increases under Obamacare. 2.3% tax on medical device manufacturing. 10% tax on indoor tanning services, Blue Cross Blue Shield tax hike, excise tax on charitable hospitals who fail to comply with the requirements of Obamacare, a tax on brand name drugs, tax on health insurers, $500,000 annual executive compensation limit for health insurance executives, employee reporting of insurance on W-2, which is not a tax, corporate 1099 MISC information reporting, repeal. Codification of the economic substance doctrine, also not necessarily a tax, but a burden. Elimination of tax deduction for employer-provided retirement prescription drug coverage in coordination with Medicare Part D. Employer mandate on businesses with over 50 full-time employees to provide health insurance. $2,000 per employee, $3,000 if employee uses tax credits to buy insurance on the exchange. Medicare tax on investment income, 3.8% over $200,000 or $250,000 for combined. Medicare Part A tax increase of 0.9% over $200,000, $250,000. 40% excise tax on Cadillac premium health insurance plans in 2018.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. And we'll be back here discussing the Affordable Health Care Act that is designed to destroy America. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, talking about asserting what's wrong with Obamacare. And what's wrong with Obamacare is we can't afford it. Basically, today, we have all these wonderful socialist programs coming out of Washington, D.C. But the trouble is, we can't afford them. We're going behind, on average, $1 trillion a year. When Barack Obama became president, why the national debt was $10.7 trillion. Today, it's $16.7 trillion. And, of course, actually, it's much higher than that. They've just been borrowing money to try to get us through to the end of this fiscal year, and then next year it'll be back and even higher. America is under attack today because, of course, we're spending money we don't have, and, of course, we have to pay interest on all this money. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to understand. Socialism doesn't work because, of course, you... Politicians vote for things for the people because everybody wants something for nothing. The trouble is there is nothing that you can get for nothing. It has to be paid for. We do not have the money to pay for Social Security, so we have to borrow money every month to put out the Social Security checks. We don't have sufficient money to pay for the current Medicare program, much less the coming Medicare program, so we have to borrow money every month for that. And where is the outcry? Well, it's muted and it's confused, and everything is being done to confuse the issue. Why doesn't the government just raise taxes so that they could come up with the money? Well, if they do, it would crash the economy. In fact, they have to actually print an additional $85 billion every month to buy the bonds so that we can pay our bills. And if we didn't do that, the whole economy would collapse. Andrew, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. That's right. And we've been going through a laundry list of the little ways that they've been trying to raise money for this Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare. But the biggest tax is the increased premiums on private health insurance policies as companies pass along all the costs incurred by the mandatory aspects of the new law, which include having to take on people with prior existing conditions as if they had normal health, illegal aliens, and indigent people's health care. While the White House claims insurance premiums will go down under Obamacare, that's not true for anyone on existing private policies. People are all seeing either a cancellation of their policy or doubling or tripling of their premiums as a result of this transition to Obamacare. And this isn't even just for quote-unquote Cadillac policy. Even high-end and high-deductible, even low-end, high-deductible, low-cost insurance policies only covering catastrophic care are being modified. Fox News revealed this week, quote,
Andrew, please repeat. We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, sorry.
Andrew, are you having some trouble with your telephone?
It sounds clear from my end. Are you
okay? Well, go ahead.
Let's try to take it slowly. Andy and Amy Mangione of Louisville, Kentucky, and boys, that's the kind of people who could be helped by Obamacare. Before recently got a nasty surprise in the mail, it had 20 weeks. Insurance for Mangione, bought on the individual level, it went to almost people in 2014, from $333 a month to $965. The insurance carrier made it clear that the was in order to be compliant with the new health care law. This is a high deductible plan where I'm assuming a lot of risk for my health insurance. And nothing has changed. Our boys are healthy. They're young. My wife is healthy. I'm healthy. Nothing in our medical history has changed. Their insurance company, Humana, declined to comment. This to the main gym, this paragraph. The policy premiums generally will occur industry-wide. Increases aren't based on the claim for health status. But many other factors go into compliance.
We seem to be having, I'm wondering, maybe our producer could come on. It's cutting out. I wonder if it's cutting out going out over the telephone because I can't hear what you're saying. I'm going to ask our producer if he would let us know whether this is going out or whether it's just my telephone. Go ahead, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew? Dr. Stan. Yes, can you hear me? Is that coming through?
That's coming through fine.
Oh, fine. ACA, of course, will be anything but affordable because the law adds a new tax on every insurance policy and requires a list of additional benefits the Mangionis didn't want to pay for. Joel inserts a comment here. He says, this is a especially true point. For those of us who use natural or holistic medicine and don't want almost anything the medical establishment pushes, ACA requires that we still use the official insurance plans, and all insurance plans rarely pay for anything like herbs and natural remedies, even though these are the things that really work when skillfully used. Back to the Fox News quote. Robert Zirkelbach, spokesman for American Health Insurance Plans, which represents insurers, explained that, quote, for people who currently choose to purchase a high-deductible, low-premium policy that's more affordable for them, they are now being required to add all these new benefits to their policy. One insurance executive told me, don't be fooled by the mainstream media pundits telling everyone that the exchange plans are coming in below budget. The costs of Obamacare exchange plans are increasing on the lowest plan available, the Bronze Plan. Based on a Manhattan Institute analysis of the HHS numbers, Obamacare will increase underlying insurance rates for younger men by an average of 97 to 99%, and for younger women by an average of 55 to 62%. Worst off is North Carolina, which will see individual market rates triple for women and quadruple for men. End of the Fox News quote. This is a losing battle.
That's why they call it the Affordable Care Act, because it's exactly the opposite. It is not affordable care. But they create this perception in your mind. They call it affordable care. Would they call it affordable what it isn't affordable? And, of course, everything is to deceive the American people. And, unfortunately, most of them go along with it. Go ahead.
That's right, Dr. Stan. Well, this is a losing battle in Congress. At least three U.S. senators are trying to use their influence to stop the funding for Obamacare in the Senate, which is an almost impossible task. The House already has a majority who want the ACA killed or defunded, but the liberal Senate has blocked every attempt at this. Joel says, I have to applaud Senators Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, Mike Lee from Utah, and Rand Paul from Kentucky for their efforts in this regard, which culminated in this week's filibuster speech, or almost filibuster speech, by Senator Cruz. Mainstream Republicans were as put out as Democrats over the press this gave to the anti-Obamacare movement. Both liberals and those who claim the title, quote, moderate Republicans, are anxious to get back to business as usual. As New York Times liberal columnist Frank Bruni wrote, quote, this week Cruz is blithely putting the lawmakers and his party between a rock and a hard place. If they fail to match the anti-Obamacare passion that he flexed anew in a Senate speech Monday, they'll land on the far right's watch list. But if they match it and the government shuts down, there's a good chance that the Republican Party takes the blame and a hit they can ill afford. It's all the same to Cruz. His own notoriety is cemented. He will be a hero to many, but the few who see him that way, he'll be a veritable monument, end quote. While the media keeps harping on Cruz's presidential ambitions, a growing minority of Americans are seeing the horrendous consequences of Obamacare looming and want out. Cruz said the right thing in his op-ed piece written for Real Clear Politics. Quote, it's time to quit worrying about power and blame and simply do what's right. I intend to use every tool available to me to defund Obamacare, and am encouraged by the thousands of phone calls, tweets, and emails that come to my office each day, end quote. But it is a quixotic move since the establishment stacked the deck against him even before he started. As the Washington Post said, quote, Cruz took the floor at 2:41 p.m. Tuesday, promising to speak, quote, until I am no longer able to stand, end quote. He proceeded to talk away, holding forth with occasional assistance from a handful of Republican colleagues who gave him breaks from speaking by asking lengthy questions. Although Cruz was still required to remain on his feet on the Senate floor with no food or bathroom breaks, which is really tough going. The end of the speech-making, a filibuster in all but name, followed an exchange late Wednesday morning in which Senate Majority Leader Harry M. Reid informed Cruz that under Senate rules he could continue speaking, but only until 1 p.m., Joel says, rules that Democrats passed to limit filibusters. Continuing with the Washington Post quote, but Cruz opted to yield the floor at noon when the Senate formally began a new legislative day with a prayer, Joel says, which is a height of hypocrisy to ask God's blessing on such an unholy body. End of the quote. Because of the popularity of those who oppose Obamacare is growing with conservatives, Rhino Republicans like Senator Mitch McConnell, also from Kentucky, have jumped on the anti-Obamacare bandwagon, but are lying through their teeth as they secretly are pleased that their liberal colleagues will not sustain it without their having to vote. He said, quote, Obamacare is just as bad as many of us said it would be, and it's about to get a lot worse, McConnell said. The train is picking up speed and there's a bridge out ahead. Basically, this law is a complete mess. True, and he might even believe that, but McConnell is a bought-and-sold establishment man and won't really try and stop it. He and other mainstream Republicans, the only kind allowed into leadership, were visibly angry with Cruz and company and complained that the strategy of the conservative Gang of Three did not understand the backlash the Republicans suffered during the shutdown of government by Bill Clinton. Republicans had control of both the House and Senate then, so they could have acted together to direct the executive branch to follow their spending priorities. They did not, and let Clinton constantly use the bully pulpit to blame Congress for his decisions to cut essential services. But it's wrong to say Cruz does not understand what happened in the 90s. He, Lee, and Paul do understand that we gain nothing by going along with Clinton, nor have we won any significant battles by switching to compromised Republicans like George W. Bush. Even Janet Hook of the Wall Street Journal took pot shots at the three senatorial musketeers. She said, quote, "In this fall's fiscal showdown, the long-held Republican goal of extracting spending cuts and other deficit reduction measures has been eclipsed by the party's drive to stop the federal health care law." Joel says, "This is bad analysis. First of all, once you discard the Constitution to allow all these illegal programs, political realities dictate anyone who votes against the largest cut is going to get unelected. Second, Obamacare is a very large target worth hundreds of billions and is getting increasingly unpopular with the electorate. Thus, it becomes a natural target, especially for those who correctly view it as unconstitutional." She continues to harp, quote, "The result has been to inject more volatility and uncertainty into debate on crucial measures to keep the government open and solvent. Amid the fireworks over the health law, some Republicans worry that any drive to address the long-term debt problem is suffering from neglect." End quote. There is no more crucial measure in the long term than this Affordable Care Act, ACA monstrosity, which will grow to consume a large portion of the annual budget. Besides, Congress has never been successful, because the courts won't back them, at restricting the executive branch into how Congress wants money spent.
Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survived, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen. Andrew, would you like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to your father's weekly analysis of what's going on and how they can get his books on strategic relocation and getting a safe room in their home? Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. The best way is for people to log on to one of our websites. The best one is worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. There's a quick link to be able to sign up to the brief. It's a modest fee for an entire year's subscription to all of the analysis that we put out. We'll send it right to your email box each week. If you don't want to sign up for the brief, it's a valuable website. We are constantly updating it almost daily with stories that we find that can help supplement your news analysis. There you can also find a link to our other website, joelskousen.com, and that website lists all of the publications and DVDs and materials that my dad has out for sale. The foremost seller is the book Strategic Relocation, which describes all of the safe places in North America. We also analyze other places around the world, but specifically have a lot of detail about North America and Canada, including full color maps and descriptions of all of the different threats facing us, from natural disasters on through a potential nuclear war and government hegemony. And then we list each state and then describe descriptions about how to plan out your own life to be able to avoid most of the threats, or at least mitigate them for yourself and your family. Once you've found a strategic location or a strategic retreat option, you'll want to get one of our other two books, The Secure Home, which is a 700-page book about how to secure everything about your property, make yourself low visible, and get some alternate energy systems in. Or if you just want to do something on a smaller scale, you'll want to get The High Security Shelter, how to implement a multi-purpose security vault in the home, which just describes in great detail with plans and everything for a do-it-yourself project how to build a single secure room that will house all of your valuables and your family during an emergency, including social unrest, you know, people trying to take your valuable supplies, as well as some basic alternate energy systems to keep yourself afloat in there. And all of these are also available through you, Dr. Stan, at Radio Liberty, right?
By calling 800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. They're excellent books. They sell well. And the important thing is people begin to understand and prepare for the very difficult times that are coming. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. Yeah, well, difficult times are coming, and part of it is budgetary. We are talking about the Affordable Care Act and how much it is going to drain the federal government even further in the future as it comes online. We're already running out of money, and this will only make it considerably worse. And yet, we're discussing some of the quotes from the Wall Street Journal, which are sort of nonplussed with the efforts of Senator Cruz this week, as well as Mike Lee of Utah, and Paul from Kentucky. Part of the quote here that that we have in the brief says this. Quote, it is a strategic leap for Republicans who for years have used fiscal deadlines to negotiate major debt reduction measures. Now they are using them to promote policy goals, like repealing the health care law, that they have been unable to achieve otherwise, end quote. Joel says, this isn't a deadline. All of the negotiation capital towards cuts has long since been used up. There is no more items that Obama is willing to cede with this Affordable Care Act without huge tax increases. With the Senate under less liberal control, he holds all the cards except government shutdown. But he is prepared to make the most of even that with the support of the liberal media in casting the blame back on the Republicans. Democrats claim that Obama's re-election, which was rigged in his favor, proved the majority wanted Obamacare, which isn't true now, even if it was then. Polls show an increased number are now displeased after they are beginning to see what it is going to cost them. Senator Tom Harkin, a Democrat of Iowa, referred to the Republican efforts as an obsession and started blaming them even before the government shutdown. The Senate will strip out the House provision defunding Obamacare, and then the bill will go back to the House, where House Speaker John A. Boehner, a Republican from Ohio, will assign the bill to a conference committee to resolve differences between the Senate and House versions. That's where conservative hardline efforts always get overturned. Then it is presented to both houses for a yes or no vote. Anyone who votes no will be blamed for shutting down the government. Both houses face a deadline of next Monday night to prevent most federal agencies from closing on Tuesday. The continuing resolution has to be passed to authorize more money, and the debt limit has to be raised. Two separate votes, but for the same purpose. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew joined in the fray on Wednesday, saying that the nation will exhaust its emergency borrowing capacity no later than October 17th. Joel says, as I said, the government doesn't have to shut down. But even if people understood that there are huge constituencies that support each separate form of government aid, loan, welfare, and subsidy. Each of these groups will cry bloody murder and hate any congressman or president who cuts off, quote-unquote, their money. Gaining back a majority is not the answer, nor is it possible once the majority of voters favor candidates who will promise to keep government money flowing. Neither are term limits the answer, because liberals can replace their outgoing candidates far easier than we can find principled, no-compromise constitutional conservatives to replace statements. The only answer is constitutional restrictions on what the majority can pass in Congress, specifically outlawing welfare, foreign aid, subsidies, loans, and other forms of wealth distribution would restrict these kinds of laws. Then it wouldn't matter if the people voted in the Marxist. He couldn't do anything. Unfortunately, we are past the point where we can legislate, even at the constitutional level, or reestablish these original restrictions to government power. We just don't have the votes anymore. And the courts are as corrupt as Congress. So even though conservatives like Mark Levin have good intentions in putting forth his Liberty Amendment, he is very much mistaken in his push for a constitutional convention of the states to pass this amendment. Even middle-of-the-road Republican governors would appoint establishment lawyers and judges to attend this as delegates, and it's almost certain that they would make changes that would only facilitate government power. Some conservatives claim that you can restrict the agenda of such a convention to the Liberty Amendment by the language of each state's authorizing bill. But the establishment has a very bad habit of disregarding these limitations once they get into session and the group takes on a life of its own.
Hold that thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Sure. Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, back for the last segment of our program this morning. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Jill says, I've long reached the conclusion that this country is going down, the same as all nations that turn into unrestrained democracy. Just because Europe successfully revised and limited their socialist welfare and education entitlements a few decades ago, when they were facing national bankruptcy, it doesn't mean that they are stable for the long term. Every socialist nation is taking on more debt each year, and their productive class keeps getting smaller. Some countries like Norway have the temporary benefit of large oil revenues to fund their welfare state, but they too will find someday that when the oil runs out, their people will not tolerate austerity any more than the Greeks or the Cypriots or the rest of Southern Europe. Even the French are going to be facing severe financial hardships in a few years. The only reason the Germans have been spared is because they have a highly productive mentality among their workers, but even they are in negative territory relative to national debt, just like the U.S. Now, that doesn't guarantee that collapse is just around the corner. The powers that be can continue to keep things afloat for another 10 years, and that looks like what they intend to do. Let's move on to the next story, which is that the U.S. is pushing for U.N. authorization to use force in Syria. The Russians are complaining that the U.S. is pressuring every other nation on the U.N. Security Council to agree to an automatic military option should Syria not follow through with compliance with the newly inked chemical weapons agreement. And the U.S. is planning on sabotaging this in the process. That is easy to do since someone has to put up the $1 to $2 billion to fund a chemical weapons incinerator, and some nation has to agree to host that incinerator plus storage facilities, an unpopular political move. Even if they do it in Syria, that requires a permanent presence of U.N. troops in the country, which Assad would object to. If they do it outside Syria, someone has to pay to secure and ship all those thousands of tons of chemical weapons, which include those Russia helped transfer out of Iraq before the Iraq War. Meanwhile, the UN investigative team made a crucial admission this week that undercuts the U.S. claim that UN findings of chemical weapons use could only have been done by the Syrian military. The UN team admitted that they were delayed getting into the site and pressed to finish before they were ready. They cautioned that the evidence might have been quote-unquote moved or even manipulated, since a lot of other people have been picking over the site both before and during the investigation. Additionally, Russia has finally produced its analysis pointing to the rebels as the most likely culprits of this chemical attack. RussiaToday.com has the story, quote, Russia has enough evidence to assert that homemade sarin was used on August 21st in a chemical attack near Damascus, the same type but in higher concentration than in an Aleppo incident earlier this year, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said. Quote, on the occasion of the incident in the vicinity of Aleppo on March 19, 2013, when the United Nations, under the pressure of some Security Council members, didn't respond to the request of the Syrian government to send inspectors to investigate, Russia, at the request of the Syrian government, investigated that case, and this report, i.e. the results of this investigation, are broadly available to the Security Council and publicly, Lavrov said. The main conclusion is that the type of sarin used in that incident was homemade. We also have evidence to assert that the type of sarin used on August 21st was the same, only of higher concentration. End quote. The minister said he had recently presented his U.S. counterpart John Kerry with the latest compilation of evidence, which was an analysis of publicly available information. Joel inserts, there was no response. Continue with the quote. The reports by the journalists who visited the sites, who talked to the combatants telling the journalists that they were given some unusual rockets and munitions by some foreign country, and they didn't know how to use them. You have also the evidence from the nuns serving in a monastery nearby who visited the site. You can read the evidence and the assessments by the chemical weapons experts, who say that the images shown do not correspond to a real situation if chemical weapons were used, end quote. Now, Lavrov was referring to a report that interviews a Christian nun, Mother Agnes Mariam El-Salib, the Mother Superior of St. James Monastery in Qara, Syria. She interviewed parents who saw their own children being used more than once in different venues as victims, plain dead, and bodies of real dead people being moved around to be photographed more than once as fresh victims. Russia Today continues with the Russian rebuttal. Quote, and we also know about an open letter sent to President Obama by former operatives of the CIA and the Pentagon saying that the assertion that it was the government that used the chemical weapons was a fake. The foreign minister, however, reminded that the chemical weapons agreement did not suggest adopting any UN resolution that mentions immediate UN Chapter 7 measures against Syria, or rather the potential for the use of military force, end quote. To put this resolution under Chapter 7 authority allows a military response without additional resolutions, which is what the U.S. wants. The Russians refused to go along, and the U.S. finally had to drop the demand. Deputy Russian Foreign Minister Gatilov responded that, quote, although the text of the resolution will include a reference to Chapter 7 of the U.N. Charter, Gatilov stressed there will be no automaticity in engaging in military or non-military actions without a separate discussion at the U.N. Security Council. However, don't bet on the U.S. abiding by that if they can sabotage the process in other ways. Meanwhile, this week, there was a diplomatic standoff between the U.S. and Iran. Obama had to deal with Iranian President Rouhani's peace offensive. Both gave major foreign policy addresses to the General Assembly. But both speeches were in contrast, both in style and substance. Obama's remarks at the UN were crafted by speechwriters to cast Obama as the great world peacemaker while demanding a crackdown on anti-U.S. demonstrators in the Middle East. It was completely disingenuous as he pushed the doctrine that the U.S. was the only one who could solve the crisis with Syria and Iran, plainly referring to its power to enforce a military solution. The world was cringing during the speech and quickly cataloged one lie after another. Here's a partial list of Obama's lies and hypocrisy put together by Washington's blog. Quote, President Obama's opening lines at the UN on Tuesday looked down on people who would think.
Oh, we're out of time, Andrew. God bless. Thanks very much. Look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Well, Dr. Dan here, the Middle East is a seething cauldron ready to erupt, and this is going to have a profound impact on America. The United States is funding a military invasion by paid mercenaries of Syria. We are funding these, there's about 80,000 mercenaries there. A few of them are Iranians, most of them, I mean, a few of them are Syrians, but most of them are people we're paying, coming from other countries, to attack this sovereign nation. And ladies and gentlemen, this is totally against the United Nations. The average American thinks this is a civil war. It's not a civil war. We're paying the mercenaries there, and 100,000 civilians are dead. And they wouldn't be dead if we weren't funding the mercenaries. There wouldn't be a war going on, and their blood is on the hands of every American who's not speaking out about what's going on. And, of course, I fear that this war is eventually going to spread to Iran. I think everything is being done to get Israel to attack Iran. And if that is what happens, Iran will retaliate, I fear, not only against Israel, but against the United States. If you've not yet heard our force tape set or seen our DVD on the threat of an EMP attack, you need to get it, and you need to start making your preparations accordingly. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to watch the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. Get the 4-CD set. We carry a book called A Nation Forsaken, pointing out that one nuclear weapon exploded over the middle part of America would wipe out the electronic infrastructure of this nation and take us back to the way we were in the middle 1800s. This is not imaginary, it's real. Start making your plans accordingly and preparing for difficult times. Hope and pray they don't take place, but very little we get to the controlled media is accurate. And very few people want to talk about the invasion of Syria that we are financing. These are mercenaries. This is not a civil war. Assad has not killed all these civilians. They've been killed because there's a war going on there. And we're funding that war in large part. And ladies and gentlemen, most of what you read and think and believe just isn't true. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. And they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But understand, behind everything going on are powerful spirits and forces aimed at the destruction of Western and Christian civilization. And until you understand that, until you understand it's not a matter of if we have World War III, but when we have World War III. And as our leaders created World War I and World War II, they intend to create World War III, but this would be far more devastating than anything we've ever seen before. And if you doubt that this whole thing was created, you need to hear the interview I have with Norman Dodd. I did it back in 1980, where he talks about how his people went through the files of the Carnegie Institute for 1908. And the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in 1908 was saying, how will we change the world and bring in the world government? Why, the best way is through war. And then they spent 1909 figuring how they were going to get a major war going and finally